This time the scripture reading is 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Read this chapter, especially the first five verses in connection with Lord's Day 50 and the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. This time we'll now read 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. There we read this word of God. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May the Lord bless us in the reading of his word. In connection with this passage and all of Scripture is based the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50 and its exposition of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. The question is 125, which is the fourth petition? And as you children know, the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good. And that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, I read in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4, these words, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Those things included in every creature are noted in the context and include things like marriage and the gift of sexuality in marriage. It includes things like meat, things which some in past church history taught were things evil and to be avoided and to be abstained from. Concerning these things, however, Jesus teaches these are things for which we must pray in the fourth petition. Unlike those in past church history called the ascetics, we must not think that to be spiritually minded as God's children, we must forsake all earthly good gifts of God, forsake all clothing, all food, go in this life as abjectly poor in a self-imposed poverty which would lead to sickness. The Lord teaches otherwise. He teaches that the good gifts of this life are not inherently evil, are not inherently wicked, but these things are good creatures of God. He made them for our earthly life and the support of our health and strength. And especially for the child of God, God has given us these things for our service here below and our stations and calling in His kingdom and for His kingdom. And thus, according to the instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ, even before we ask for the forgiveness of our sins, we are taught to pray for daily bread. And although we are taught to pray for earthly things, daily bread, the Catechism reminds us, nevertheless, this is a spiritual activity for the child of God. The wording especially implies that daily, every day, day by day, we must be making this our petition. Jesus is not asking us or teaching us now, pray this petition once in your life when there is something very important for which you desire of the good gifts of this life. Now, pray just once in your life or once on maybe Sunday for the whole week. The Lord's instruction implies this must be a daily activity. Not even just at the beginning of the day, but throughout the day. Praying to our Father, grant to us this day our daily bread. And remembering this is a spiritual exercise of the child of God in his relationship with our Heavenly Father, in which we more and more going to him for our daily bread, we may grow in our love and trust in him. Therefore, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us to pray unto our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, doing so in the true knowledge of our need. Secondly, praying in the confident expectation that he will supply all that we need. And thirdly, praying this with the blessed result of spiritual growth in our trust in our Heavenly Father and his faithfulness unto us for Jesus' sake. Call your attention then to the text under the theme, asking our Father for our daily bread. Following those three things, in the knowledge of our earthly need, in the confident expectation of the Father's supply, and with the spiritual result of growth in our trust in our Father. We need, beloved, daily bread. The Lord defines for us what that is. Daily bread is not defined as perhaps we might like it to be. It's not defined as gold or silver or a new house, a new car, or even a car, even a bike, or a toy, new clothes, many, many other things. Jesus does not even teach us to pray for the abundance which we actually do receive day by day, especially in this part of the world. Rather, Jesus sets our sights, sights of all of his people, whether in prosperity or they may be in adversity and great poverty today, sets all of our eyes, of all of his people, at the same target, daily bread. That's very low. Bread. A basic commodity for the support of the health of our bodies. Daily. Which doesn't mean day by day. Daily here refers to the same word we find in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8b. It's the word convenient. The word convenient there means that defined allotment, or what we would call a ration. We're praying here for the divinely determined ration that you and I must receive of the basic commodities of this life, the basics of food, clothing, shelter, transportation, medical care. We're praying for perhaps the money to supply those things, but nevertheless, that's what we're praying for. The basic necessities of this life. And Jesus teaches that's not something to be ashamed of. This petition is not being covetous. Give unto us this day our daily bread. That's not covetous. That's not evil. We certainly must not covet daily bread, not covet the things of this earth. Scripture does warn us, set not your hearts upon the things here below, set your heart upon the things above, at the right hand of God and Jesus Christ. Indeed. And never may we fall into the deception of thinking, well, if I just had more than what's in my hands, well, then once I have that, well, then I'll be happy and everything will be fine. No. From that we must repent. However, this request which Jesus teaches us is not covetousness. This is legitimate. We must not be ashamed to ask this petition of our Heavenly Father as though having nothing or less would be better. Is there an advantage to poverty? The minimalist trend in the world today would say so. Well, if I have less of the things of this life, I will be much better. I will be happier. The Proverbs doesn't teach that. The Word of God says this is the answer to that question. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Feed me with my daily bread. Poverty will not make us holier. We must not be ashamed of asking this petition. It is exactly what we need, whether in riches or in poverty. Food convenient, that divinely determined allotment or ration for this day. That, beloved, we must bring to our Heavenly Father. By doing so, we declare our dependence upon our Father in heaven for everything. And that requires humility. Requires the humility where we understand personally, I cannot provide food for myself on my own. I'm not able to do that. Now, that doesn't mean, well, then we sit around and do nothing and be like the sluggard who doesn't take his hands out of his pocket and ends up in poverty and sickness and perishes. We must labor with our abilities in our stations and callings, in the lawful employment God has given us, or in that particular time in our life which God has given us, whether in childhood or in retirement, using yet our gifts and abilities in that specific station we have been given. Nevertheless, as much as we labor, as much as we use our hands and our eyes and our gifts and abilities, we must understand and do so in the knowledge that in the end, these hands are not in control. This mind in its wisdom is not in control. God must give us the hands. God must give us the strength. God must give us the mind. He must give us the good fruits of our labor. He must give us the income. He must control all of the innumerable circumstances and variables in our life, which we can't count and are beyond our understanding to comprehend, so that we may have, in the end, at the exact moment, each and every day, our daily bread. That understanding requires humility. And a confession, I, as the child of God, I depend upon my Father in heaven, even for my earthly life and the gifts needed to support that. Beloved, we don't have that childlike posture by nature. As we know and we learn and we're instructed, we are proud by nature. We receive from the Father so much today, we want more. What we receive, we often take for granted. In our prosperity, we're prone to forget God. Think of ourselves and, wow, look what I did. Look at what I have accomplished. Look at my house. Look at my land. Look at my possessions. Look at my family. Wow. We need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit to work in us that humility, to repent of our pride, to be humble, to remember we are not all powerful to control all of the circumstances of our life. Not in control of even the health of our bodies, the heart, the organs, the mind. All of that depends upon our Father. According to His will, we are subject to His will, His power. And even our care, even our management as good stewards of what God has given us is all dependent upon the sovereign, almighty hand of our Father, subject to His will. In that humility, we confess then correctly, God is the source, the only source of our daily bread. Children, the food that comes to you today, even the vegetables on the plate, come from our Father in heaven. He makes it happen according to His providence. It really is a wonder that day after day, God gives us our food, our daily bread. It's something we take for granted. We hardly notice that at lunchtime at school. But that food comes from the hand of our Heavenly Father. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He made all things in heaven and the earth and the sea, all the creatures of the whole creation. He even made us, body and soul, so marvelously, and made us all with our unique characteristics and personalities, and places us in all of our different circumstances in life. And that God rules in our lives, whether rich or poor, healthy or sick, happy or sad. Things are going easily, very well, or when things are hard and difficult. He governs all of that and grants us our daily bread exactly when we need it. Sometimes he does that in ways which that stands out very clearly. The Lord provides exactly when we need it. But he continues to do that even when we don't notice as we should, showing to us our Father is wise. He is good. He's all-knowingly wise, infinite in his understanding. And according to that knowledge, he gives us what we need. In fact, he already knows what we need and what will be good for us each and every day. The Catechism teaches, to the fountain of every good and perfect gift, let us go and lay our requests before him. Father, grant to us our daily bread today. Do so, beloved, with an expectation of his faithful supply. That expectation is based on God's promise expressed by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, verse 19, where we read, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." What a beautiful promise that applies not just to the spiritual things we need, but also to the earthly things of our daily bread, too. And now understand, this is not a promise which is universal. It's not given to the ungodly. Certainly they receive also from God in heaven the good gifts of this life. They also receive rain for their crops, rain and sunshine, good food, just as we do. The ungodly also receive great riches and honor in this life. However, Philippians 4, verse 19 teaches that God supplies our need, the needs of his church, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, the manner of and the motive of his giving things to the wicked is not for their salvation. According to his glory, God gives the ungodly daily bread as a curse for their doom. It's poisoned with a purpose to bring them into condemnation, that though God has shown he is the good creator of heaven and earth, they have rejected him. They have hated him. They refuse to turn unto him. They will not acknowledge God as the source of every good and perfect gift of this life. That's no surprise to the Father in heaven, because according to his glory in Christ Jesus, that fulfills his purpose. According to Psalm 73, verse 18, those to whom he has not determined to be good, he gives to them the good things of this life, not for their salvation, not to give them the idea that, well, God really wants to save them. No, to set them in slippery places, to cast them down into destruction. But to the church, Unto you who fear my name, my children, whom I have adopted in the blood and by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, I will supply all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Well, beloved, we're at the time of the year where we do a lot of harvesting of our vegetables and the fruits of the field which God gives us. And as is common, we make things like applesauce. And what do? We have these canning jars. There they sit. Perhaps we haven't started that process with the applesauce yet, but the canning jars are there on the shelf, ready to be filled up. When you hold that canning jar and look at that glass quart, that's you and me. That's us. Empty canning jars. Empty canning jars of need. All need. The Father promises to fill us up with the harvest of His goodness in Jesus Christ. The standard of that motive to fill you up, empty canning jar, is His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The standard is not us. If that were the case, we would remain empty, or God would fill us up with the fluid of His curse to destroy us. But the standard of what God pours into you is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. The motive of why He puts that into you is His grace, His unconditional, unearned grace and love in Christ Jesus. For the sake of Christ, He fills us up with our daily bread. And that is what we must seek from our Father in heaven. Will the Father do that to me, we ask? Before that promise, the child of God looks up to our Father by faith, rooted in our Lord Jesus Christ, that for the sake of Christ only, God will fill us up. He will provide our daily bread. Apart from faith, you and I would never dare, really, to pray this petition. Why pray this petition? We stand before the Father, and if we stand before the Father apart from faith, we stand in our sin, naked in our guilt, unrighteous before God, and we would only expect God to curse us and fill us up with the dark and smelly fluid of His curse. By faith in Jesus Christ, we stand before the Father, justified in His sight, on the position, in the location of His favor, and may expect because we possess the perfect righteousness of Christ, God views us as His dear child, His dear children, worthy to be heard, worthy of His favor. As a child in the family of the Father, in fellowship with the Father, which means we have the right to the Father's care and love. And standing then before the Father by that faith in Jesus Christ, we expect, for the sake of Christ, we call upon our Father and say, Father, grant to us this daily bread. He will hear you from His throne in heaven, and He will flawlessly, precisely, perfectly, at the exact moment and in the right quantity, fill up that empty canning jar that you and I are. But also by faith, God pours into us something more important than the daily bread itself. More important than the daily bread is the food that you get for lunch or the clothes that we wear. They are important, but not the most important thing. It's not even the medical care that we need, without which we would surely become more sick and die. The medical care and all of the medication we must take is important, but it's still not fundamental. As the Catechism teaches on the basis of Proverbs 10, verse 22, we seek from the Father our daily bread. He not only pours in answer to our request daily bread into us, but something far more important, and that is his blessing. From the Father's hand comes our daily bread, but also seasoned with his blessing. And thus, when you have God's blessing, his favor, the expression of his kindness to you, you and I are rich. And thus we know, beloved, receiving that daily bread from our Father as an expression of his love to us, we have the assurance and the comfort that our Father is faithful. He will grant us our daily bread for our station and calling in life today and tomorrow and all the days of our life. He will not fail. He is that fountain which doesn't dry up. He is that everlasting fountain of every good and perfect gift and will pour into you exactly what you need. Doing so by faith, beloved, there will be the result of spiritual growth. By teaching that, the Catechism then lays before us the implication of a warning. It warns us not to neglect this petition for our daily bread from our Father in heaven. For if we fail to pray this petition, then we will reap the consequences according to God's chastising of us. If we fail to pray this petition, what will happen? We begin to stumble into pride. And that's dangerous. Going through the day, young people, receiving your daily bread but never praying to the Father in heaven. When we do that, what we're really doing is saying, well, I can get through the day on my own. I don't need the Father. I can go to the store and get my daily bread. No, in that pride, we're forgetting God. We're taking our prosperity, that daily bread, and the abundance which we may receive besides the daily bread, taking that for granted. Scriptures teach that the proud shall not stand before the Father in his sight. He punishes the proud, and that reminds us as his children, he will chastise us. We neglect also this very important petition. This petition, beloved, draws us away from ourselves, away from our pride, and draws us to our Father in heaven. It draws us to his strength, his wisdom, and his supply for all that we need in this life. Secondly, if we neglect this prayer, we'll become selfish. Think about ourselves, our own life. This petition guards us from that. When we're taught by Jesus to pray our daily bread, not just my daily bread, but your daily bread. Or when we're looking at any of God's saints, not just my bread, but also that of my fellow saints. I must, even in this petition, remember God's church, not just in our own congregation, but those saints whom we know and have been told are in persecution, in poverty, in distress. we must think of the communion of the saints in the body of Christ and pray for our fellow saints that they also receive the supply of their daily bread. Being faithful then in this petition, we are humble before the Lord, centered on Him. And we do that, beloved, by prayer, by faithful devotions. That's the emphasis of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. We receive the good gifts of this life with the Word of God and prayer. What does that mean? It means you and I must carve out in our daily schedules and then protect that time in which we, with the reading of Scripture, with the Word of God and meditation upon that Word and prayer in connection with the reading of Scripture, we receive our daily bread in thanksgiving to God. And by doing so, consecrate that which we receive for our service in the kingdom of God here below in our different stations and callings in life. We must do that personally. We must do that as families. We must have, according to 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5, and the fourth petition, those daily devotions where we seek from God our daily bread and also thank Him for what we have received and pray that in connection with the reading of Holy Scripture. Yes, even on the job, even on vacation, pray and give thanks to the Lord for your daily bread. That does result, beloved, in spiritual growth, especially in our trust in our Heavenly Father. Catechism teaches that result when it says, within this gift of prayer, we learn to withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee, in our Heavenly Father. You see, the prayer for daily bread is not intended to be an activity where we give to the Lord in the morning a grocery list of all the things that make up our daily bread with a view to picking those things up later in the day when the order has been assembled by the Lord, and then we receive that dispensation of daily bread. The Lord doesn't operate like a local grocery store where you may do that in the morning, call up, give the order, and then at some time later in the day, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you go and you pick up your order from the store. This is not what the Lord teaches at all. This is not that kind of activity. For first of all, we don't call up the Lord in heaven and tell Him what He doesn't know. That's not prayer. That's not this petition. The Lord already knows what you need. He is our Father in heaven. He knows our need, even the daily bread which we need, far better than we know. His mind is infinite. Ours is not. Prayer, beloved, is designed, and this petition is designed by the Lord to teach us what we need, to teach us, not to inform God, but to teach us what we need more and more, day by day, all the days of our life. Secondly, prayer does not change the Father's mind or change His will concerning our needs so that we have the idea that, well, if I pray this petition instead of 3 times today, maybe I'll pray it 25 times today, well, then now the Lord will surely give that which I seek. Prayer doesn't change His mind. Prayer doesn't inform him. He is our heavenly Father in his infinite, almighty, omniscient, transcendent majesty who draws very close to us in Jesus Christ. And in prayer, we are learning our relationship with him and his faithfulness to us to supply our daily bread. And that, beloved, is designed to strengthen your trust in him. In this petition, God teaches us and assures us against the background of the daily bread we have received today that he is faithful. We ask him for our daily bread, and it's amazing. He answers our petition. He grants us that daily bread so that we don't starve today. That ought to amaze you. We don't starve today. And we go through that cycle of requesting the daily bread, the Father giving it to us, sometimes in very normal ways, sometimes in ways which are so dramatic, it's so obvious to us that our Father is faithful and he grants us exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. And that's all designed by the Holy Spirit to teach us in the school of prayer that our Father holds us in his hand, his hand of grace, and day by day from his hand to your mouth, from his fountain to you, the empty jar, he fills you up with your daily bread and then fills you to overflowing with his goodness. That results in a stronger trust, a closer walk with our Heavenly Father, and that joy, like a little child next to his father or mother walking down the street with gladness. They have no concern. Their parents take care of them, feed them, clothe them, give them a place to live, medical care when they're sick. The child is thrilled to be in the presence of that parent. So it is with us. The Father draws us nearer to him in that joy and gladness to be his children for Jesus' sake and to be the recipients of his blessing so that we may confess with the church of all ages, yes, our cup, that empty canning jar, does overflow with the goodness of the Lord. Beloved, in the knowledge and amazement at the wonder of the Father's care and enduring love unto you, pray this petition by faith, day by day. Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Let us pray. O most merciful and gracious Father in heaven, beseech of thee that thou wilt fill us up with our daily bread also today, and fill us up to overflowing with the goodness of thee, our Jehovah, whose mercy endures forever. Grant us, Father, these things only for Jesus' sake. Amen.